Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top, or the last narrow line of the Gemara, if you prefer. The opening point of the Gemara is a quote from the Mishnah of the Al HaZvos. The Mishnah mentioned that over Zvos, one recites a bracha of Koichu Gvurosu Moloi Oilam. And on the side of our Gemara, under our title heading, the Nosei, we have simply noted Zvos is a Re'idas Adoma, an earthquake. So the Gemara asks, my Zvos, what is meant by Zvos? Amarav Ketina, Goiha. Goiha, as Rashi says, Re'idas Ha'oretz, an earthquake. Rav Ketina, Havikoza Be'urcha. Rav Ketina was on the road. Kimota Pischa Debe Uba Tamya. When he came across the house of Uba Tamya. Uba Tamya is a type of sorcerer known as a Baal Oiv. We should note to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have noted here a term, Maisa. We've encircled it and indicated it's a with a long marking of this vertical descending dashed line, the length of this section, which involves this particular encounter between Rav Ketina and the Uba Tamya. So the Gemara continues with him, meeting up with Uba Tamya. Gonach Goiha. There was a tremor, an earth tremor. Omar. And Rav Ketina then said, "Mi yoda Uba Tamya hai goa mahu." Does Uba Tamya know, referring to this sorcerer, does he know what this was? What is the nature of the earth tremor? What causes it? Roma le kola. So Uba Tamya responds and says, "Ketina, Ketina. Amai lo yodana, why don't you know? You're asking me, what is it? Why don't you know?" He goes on to explain, B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zocher Esbonav, Sheshruyim B'tzar, Bein Umos Ha'olam, when the Almighty remembers his sons, his children, dwelling in exile amongst the nations of the world, Murid Shtei Demos. Now, we've indicated a little number one over here, because this will be the first of what we've listed as five different explanations as to what the cause of an earth tremor is. So he explains that, and when the Jews are in exile and the Almighty recounts this fact, he sheds two tears, Liyam Hagodol, to the great sea, and the sound of the impact that the teardrop makes is heard from one end of the world to the other. Vahainu Goan, that is the explanation of an earthquake. Omar Rav Ketina. So Rav Ketina responds with in a similar style. He says, Uba Tamya Kodivhu. You are, Kodiv is a liar, Umile Kedivin, and your words are false. E Hachi, if your explanation were correct, then Goya Goya Miboyale. There should be a double tremor, a double quake. And that's not what we experienced. We experienced a singular quake. The Gemara responds and says, Velohi, Rav Ketina's opposition is not justified. Goa goa ovid. Really, there is a multiple tremor. Vahai delo odilei, and that which Rabbi Ketina did not concede and acknowledge and concur with the Uba Tamya's explanation, ki hechi delo liti kuli alma basrei, so as not to cause the community to follow him. He was, as we said, a Baal Oiv, a sorcerer, and that's punishable, in fact, by death, according to the Torah. A very serious offense. So as to reduce the amount of credence that people would grant him, so Rav Ketina simply disagreed, even though in truth there is validity to what the Ubatamyo explained. Rav Ketina didei Omar, Rav Ketina himself, he explains the earth tremor as Sofek Kapov, where the Almighty is clapping his hands, so to speak. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vegam ani ake kapio kapi vanichosi chamosi, and I will clap my hands, and that will relieve my wrath. So the clapping of the hands, kiviyochel, so to speak, is what causes the world to shudder. A third explanation, Rabbi Noson Omer, Anocho Misanech, the Almighty sighs, Shenemar, Vahanichosi Chamosi, Bom Vehinechomti. The Rashi explains, Anocho Misanech, Meois Anocho, from this sigh or grunt, Marid Hakarka, the earth tremors. Umatsinu Shemisanech, and we have a source for this reaction of this grunting, Shenemar, Vanichosi Chamosi Bom. This is the pasuk that the Gemara cited. Kivyochol, this is as if to say, Ka'odam Shiesh Lo Chema, as a person who may have wrath, Umisaneach, and has a sigh of anguish, Umisnachem Daito, and Voiseloi Nachasruch, and with a person who is full of wrath, and then releases a sigh or a grunt, this relieves him of his state of fury. The Gemara continues, V'rabbonon Amri, Bo'et Bekarka. The earth tremor is a function of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kiviyochol, kicking the ground. Shinemar, Heidod Kedorchim Yane, El Kol Yoshvei Horetz. The Rashi says, Heidod Kedorchim Yane, Shedorech U'Bo'et Borakia. A type of trampling and kicking in the heavens. Rav Acho Bar Yankiv Omar, Dochek Es Raglo. This is a fifth explanation. The fourth had been Boit Borakia, where he kicks it's a kick in the heavens. And the fifth explanation, Dochek Es Raglo, Hatachas Kisei HaKovod, where the Almighty, so to speak, pushes his feet under his throne. Shinemar, and how does that affect us? So the pasuk says, "Koyamar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, Va'aretz Hadom Raglai." The Almighty proclaims the heavens are His throne, and the world is His footstool. So, if that be the case, as the Almighty sits on His throne, so to speak, pushing His feet under His throne, He's then kicking on the world. All of this is, one has to appreciate, extremely figurative, and a much, much deeper explanation lies behind this. The Al HaRa'omim, the Mishnah mentioned that on Ra'omim one says also, Koychug Vosamol Le'olam, my Ra'omim, what is that? Omar Shmuel. So what the Gemara is preoccupied with is not so much what's the translation of it, but what is the cause of it. So the translation is what we call thunder. So Shmuel, the Gemara is asking, what is the cause of the thunder? So Shmuel offers the first of several explanations, and you can see with our markings that we've highlighted the each explanation with a double underline. So Shmuel's pshat, the explanation is Anoni Begalgila. Rashi says, Anonim mischofefim umischakchim, the clouds that bump into and rub into one another as they move in the heavens. V'nishma hakol, and that noise, the colliding, the collision of clouds, creates the thunder. Rashi has a second explanation, but this should suffice for now. And the Gemara cites a pasuk Shnema Kol Ramcha Bagalgal Heiru Brokim Tevu Rogs of Atira Shoretz. Pasuk describes the sound of thunders of thunder that happens as a result of that which takes place in the heavens. Rabbanan Amri Anoni Deshafchi Mayel Adodi. It's results from clouds that spill their water from one to another. Shinema, the pasuk says, "Lekoil sito hamon mayim b'shamayim," that there is a sound. Lekoil is a sound made by the pouring of water in the heavens. Rav Acha bar Yankiv Omar, "Barka takifa deborik ba'anona umispar gzizi debarza." It's a strong bolt of lightning that appears in the clouds and breaks pieces of ice or hail, and that is what causes the thunder. Rav Ashi Amar Anoni Chalchuli Mechalchuli Va'osi Ziko Uminashev Apumayu. Clouds are hollow. They are, and the wind that blows over the opening causes the thunder sound. V'domi Keziko Apumdoni. It's similar to a wind that blows over the opening of barrels, and so a noise is made, is created by this passage of the wind over the opening hollow. Umistabro Krav Acha bar Yankiv. The most likely of the explanations is that of Rav Acha bar Yankiv, which was the third explanation. The Borek Barko Uminami Anoni Vasi Mitra, because we witness there's a bolt of lightning which Rav Acha made reference to. And then after the bolt of lightning, we hear the thunder, the sound, and then rain comes. So this is all conforms to the explanation Rav Acha gave of the striking of the lightning and the breaking of the ice, most likely then creating the rain that comes forth from that. The Al HaRuchos. On Ruchos, one makes Koichu Gvos Me'olam. My Ruchos, what is meant by that? Omar Abai, Zafo. Now, the Gemara gives this word, Zafo, and Rashi gives a French expression for that word. So, as we have been mentioning along the way with Gemara markings, that we're not going to commit ourselves to an actual translation unless one has knowledge of the French that Rashi is giving. From the context, though, it would seem that it's something like a hurricane. The Omar Abaye Gmiri de Zafo Belailo Lo Havi. It's a tradition that a Zafo, this wind, this strong gust of wind, does not take place at night. The Gemara asks V'ha Kochazino de Havi, but we see that it does. So the Gemara answers, "Ahu da'aschui miyumama." It must have started during the day. The Omar Abaye, another comment of Abaye, is "Gemiri de'zafo tarti shoy lo koi." That zafo does not last more than 2 hours. The kai mashinemar, to fulfill that which it says in the pasuk, "Lo sokum pamayim tzora." The pasuk indicates that sorry, suffering does not happen pamayim, twice, double. Apparently a reference to 2 hours. Gemara asks, "Well, kochazino dekoi," but we see that it does last more than 2 hours. The Gemara answers, "The mafsik beni beni." There must have been a break in the middle, so that you could have this ruchos taking place over a period of more than 2 hours, but there must have been a break in the middle. V'ala brokim oimer shekoichut vrosum ole oilom. On brokim, one says this brocha, "My brokim." What is that? What is meant by brokim? Oma rova barka. Barka is lightning. The Oma rova. Rova now comments mentioning five items. Number one, barka yechida, a single bolt of lightning. Barka chivra. Chivra is often associated with white. And white's a bolt of lightning. Ubarka yuruksa. Yuruksa, another color. The anoni de salkon. Bekeren Marovis Vasion Mikeren Dreimis. Clouds that come from the southern corner of the heavens and come forth from the south. Vitarti anoni desalkon chadalapi chaverta, and two clouds that approach one another. Kuhu kashyon, they are all bad signs. All five of these items are bad signs. Lamainaf gemina, of what benefit is there for us to know about this? Answer: Lemivi rachami, to pray for salvation, for safety. Vahani mili b'leila, all of this is true at night. Avo b'tzafra les b'hu marshosha, but seeing these during the morning, they would have no significance. Amar b'shmo bar yisok, hani anoni d'tzafra les b'hu marshosha. Morning clouds have no substance to them. In other words, in terms of rain expectation, morning clouds do not present themselves as that. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, v'chastechem kanan boker. Here the Navi is rebuking the people regarding their kindness level, and refers to their kindness as morning clouds, indicating of no value. Omar le Rav Papa Abaye, ho amri inshi. So Abaye, Rav Papa asks on this teaching of Abaye, or Rav Papa poses a question to Abaye, we should say, how can Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok say that the morning clouds have no substance, when ho amri inshi, there's a common saying, kad miftach bavi mitra, if when the doors of stores open in the morning, there is rain. So bar chamra moch sakech vegoni. Bar chamra is a person who used to be, he was the merchant that distributed grains, sold grains, and got and made money from that. So if there's rain in the morning, we tell the grain merchant, lower your moch sakech, is lower your packages, your bags, and go to sleep. In other words, you're not going to be making much money because grain will grow in such great plenty, so as to causing a tremendous price reduction, and that you're not going to profit very much. So you might as well go to sleep. And all of this is a function of what? Rain in the morning. So morning clouds, which are one would associate with rain, are a good sign. Lo kashya, ha dekoter be'eva, ha dekoter ba'anoni. It depends. If they're thick, if it's a thick cloud cover in the morning, that is positive. If it's a thin cloud covering in the morning, that is of no value, no substance. We have a couple of maimros of Rav Alexandri, which we've highlighted with this double underline and design in between. Omar Rav Alexandri. This section of Gemara will deal, first we'll deal with another aspect of thunder, and then we'll talk about a rainbow. So Omar Rav Alexandri, Amar Bishur ben Levi, Lo Nivru Ra'amim El Lipshot Akmimu Shebalev. Thunder was created for the sole purpose of straightening out the crookedness in one's heart. Or we can say in the more common jargon, to shake someone up. Shenemar V'alikim Asa Shi'u Lefanov. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has made it such that they shall fear him. And that's accomplished by a nice thunder clap. The Omar Rav Alexandri, Omar Rav Shub ben Levi. Another comment of Rav Alexandri, quoting again Rav Shub ben Levi, Horoya es hakeshes be'anon, one who sees the rainbow in the clouds, tzorech shipa aponov, has to fall facewards out of a sign of respect to the, we'll say, the divine glory. Shinema kimara hakeshes shiye be'anon, so we see the Novi Yecheskel in the context of an appearance of a rainbow. He says that he fell faceward. Layit alav marava, in marava they cursed that type of behavior, bowing to a rainbow. Mishum de merci keman de sogi lekash. It looks like he is bowing to the rainbow in a form of worshiping the rainbow. Aval bruchi vaday mevorach. But as far as a brocha is concerned, everyone agrees that there is a need for a brocha over sighting a rainbow. My mevorach. So what's the text of that? Baruch zocher habris. The one who recounts the covenant that he made with Noach, not to bring floods to the world anymore. And to signify that covenant, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu had made a rainbow in the sky. It may be said that the appearance of a rainbow nowadays signifies a certain amount of wrath that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has developed, and will nevertheless spare the world of a flood because of that original covenant. B'masnisa Tana, in a Tanaic source, we find a reference to a text, a brocha text for rainbow, and it says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho b'yochum b'brocha omer, ne'emon b'vriso v'kayim b'mamoro. In other words, an alternative text, instead of Zohar Bris, he would say this. Amar Papa Hilkoch Nimrinu L'Travayel. Rav Papa, in his characteristic form, says, therefore, we should adopt both. And the adaptation of both would read as follows. Baruch Zocher HaBris, Ne'emon B'Vriso, V'Kayom B'Mamoro. The Bracha recount praising the Almighty is remembering the covenant and trusting and is trusting in his covenant and keeps his word. Al Haorim Val Agvois, we say Boruch Oise Maise Breishis. On mountains and hills we say blessed be the Almighty who has done the workings of creation. The Gemara asks, "Otu kol hani damon al hashalav ma'aseh breishis din?" Are you suggesting that everything mentioned before was not a work of creation? V'haksiv, we have in the following pasuk, which is in the context of ma'aseh breishis, having to do with creation. It says, "Brokim la'motor also." So we see that Barak, which was mentioned in the earlier part of the Mishnah, the lightning, is part of Maisa Breishis, part of creation. So why is the reference to Oisa Maisa Breishis only insofar as the end of the Mishnah, or the end of this section of phenomenon? Omar Abaye. Abaye is the first of two approaches. He says, Kroch utni. Let's glance at the Rashi. Kroch utni. Bekulhu, regarding all of them, say, Baruch oise breishis, u'baruch shekoichu mole oilam. Kroch utni, lekulhu, Rashi says, Bechada, you should include all of them, all of the different examples in the Mishnah, together. Bechada bava, v'al kulam shtei brochas halalo. So you'll include them all in one section of the Mishnah, and regarding all of these different things that were mentioned, you will say both brachas. We had a reference to the zvos and the ra'omim and the ruchos and the brokim. All of these things that are mentioned should get both brachas of koichut brosim ole olam and oisim aisim breishis. Rava Omar. Rava takes a different approach and says, Hosam mevorach tarti. In the case of the Zikin and the Zvos, there is a svara to say both brachas. And what are they? Boruch shekoichu mole oilam and v'oisem aise breishis. Hocha, in the case of the mountains and the hills, oisem aise breishis ikah shekoichu mole oilam leka. Hills are located, they're a local phenomenon. They're not something that spreads over the whole world. Where they are, they are. Where they are not, they are not. So the appropriate bracha would be Oisem Aisem Breishis, a reference to the act of creation, So oisamai sabreshes ika. However, shekoichu mole oilam leka. But with regard to the harem and gvos, it's not accurate to say that they fill the world. After all, they're geographically located here and nowhere else, so we can't describe them as being mole oilam, or let's say as a manifestation of the Almighty strength as being mole oilam. Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Here we have another diamond, and we had started the use of the diamond above. On the side of our Gemara, we've written the Brochos, Hori'iyah, Shara Rabbi Shua ben Levi. These are Rabbi Shua ben Levi's comments on different things that one sees and a need for a Brocha. We continue with another Birchas Hariyah of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, as you can see with our additional diamond. Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Haroya Rokia b'taharosa, Omer Boruch Oise Maise Breshis. One who sees the heavens in a state of purity, so he should say the Brocha of Oise Maise Breshis. So Amosai, when is that? When can you describe the heavens as in a state of purity? Omer Abaye, Ki Osa Mitrukuli Laila. When you have rain falling all night, Ubetsafra Osa Istana. And in the morning, there comes a northerly wind, umegal yulhu l'shmaya, and clears the sky, reveals the heavens. That is when you have ri'iyas rukia b'tarosa, upligi derafron bar popor mafchista. And what we've said is at odds with Rafrom's teaching. The Omer Rafrom bar Popo Omer Avchisto Miyom Shechor Beis Hamikdash, from the day of the temple's destruction, Lo Nir Eis Rekia B'Tarosa, one would not see the heavens in a state of Tara. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Al Bishamayim Kederos V'Sok Osim Ksusam. Where the Almighty says, I clothe the heavens with a blackness and place upon them sackcloth as their clothing. The Gemara continues on Omid Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Here at the top of Omid Beis we see a Tanaic source, and the topic that we'll deal with now is on the side under our No Say heading, Birkas HaChama, the bracha recited over the sun when it reaches a certain point in the heavens. But this will be explained more in the Gemara. Horoya chama b'tkufasa, levona b'gvurasa, v'koychovim b'mesiloisam, u'mazolos kesidram, omer boruch oise breishis. Rashi at the top says, b'tkufasa, mokim shichozer sham l'tchilas hakefa. The point at which the sun returns to where it originally was, he shas tlias hamaoyrois. That's the time that the heavenly bodies were placed in the sky at the time of creation. Umioz hitchila lahakif ulishamesh, and from that point on, they started to revolve and serve. So. When is this? When is it that the heavenly bodies are in their original place as they were at the time of creation? The Amos Havi, and when is that? Omar Abaye, Kol Chof Ches Shonim, every 28 years. Vahodar Machzor V'Noflut Kufas Nisan B'Shabtai B'Urta D'Tlas Nagi Arba. And this is when the spring season, the Kufas Nisan, comes out, when the constellation of Shabtai is appearing. At the Urta de Tlas, it's a Tuesday night beginning with a Wednesday. So Rashi explains, Beurta de Tlas Nagi Dalit, Sheheriv Shimsho Shel Gimel B'Shabbos V'Yaschil Leil Dalit. Where the sun sets on after a Tuesday, the passing of a Tuesday and the entering of a Wednesday. The word Nagi means Leil. And there's a Rashi that appears at length that describes the different hours during which different constellations are shining or are appearing. And as if one wants to go through the Rashi, you can learn how this calculation is arrived at. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Horoya Hayam, and the Mishnah went on to say, Bizman Shiroya Bleprokim, the Brocha recited over the seas is when one sees it from time to time, occasionally. So the Gemara asks, Leprokim, the word Leprokim which appeared in the Mishnah, Ad Kama, up till how much time, or is constitutes occasionally. Omar Rami Bar Abba, Omar Abitzok, Ad Shloishim Yom. 30 days. That means if you see it at no greater frequency than once every 30 days, then you will say the bracha upon seeing the sea. The Omar Rami Bar Abba, you'll notice the use of this double underline is to signify a series of statements made by Rami Bar Abba. So the second statement of his, V'yomar Rami Bar Abba, Omer Bitzo, Haroya Pras, Agishro de Bovel. Pras is a river associated with Babylonia, or current present-day Iraq. If one sees the Pras River, Agishro at the bridge, or on the bridge, Agishro de Bovel, on the bridge of Bovel, so Omer Baruch Oise Reishis, the positioning here demarking a place over which at which to say the bracha, and not just any old place along the river, is because river routes, river channels have been rerouted in the course of time, and the bracha that's being recited is a bracha recognizing the time of creation. So we're interested in seeing saying the bracha at a point along the river that it has not been rechanneled. So at this point, at Gishra de Bovel, it hasn't been rechanneled. However, the Gemara comes and qualifies, Vo'idna deshanya parsoi, nowadays that the Persians have rerouted the river even at Gishra de Bovel, so you'll have to go further upstream in order to get to a place where it has not yet been rerouted. So that, therefore, it's Mibay Shavur Uliel, from a place called Bay Shavur along the Pras River and further upstream. Rav Yosef Omar Mi'i Dekira Uliel. Rav Yosef has his a point of view, and he says it's from Ihi Dekira, another place, and further and upstream from there. But further downstream, they've rerouted it. The Omar Romi Bar Abba, Horoya Diglas. Diglas is another river, another one of the rivers in Bovel. Agishra de Shvistina, if you see it at that place called Gishra de Shvistina, Omer Boruch Oisebrecious. The Torah refers to these rivers using the name Chidekel. So the Gemara is asking here, what is the Torah name Chidekel signify? My Chidekel, what is behind the name of that river? Omer of Ashi, Shemem of Chodim V'Kolin. Its waters are swift, or Chodim literally means they're sharp. Rashi says, Harifin Maya, Harif is sharp, and Kolin and swift. Rashi speaks about them being light. Rashi mentions that they're good for drinking. There's another river mentioned in the Torah called the Pras, and we made reference to that also in our Gemara a few lines up, Horoa Pras. So what is behind the name, my Pras? Answer, Shememov Porin Varovin. Its waters are literally are fruitful, are bubbling forth. The Omar Rava, Hai de Harifi B'nei Mechuza, that which, or the fact that B'nei Mechuza are sharp, is mishum deshosu maya de diglas, because they drink the river of the diglas. The diglas is associated with the chidekel. The term diglas is a later name that the Torah referred to it as chidekel. Hai de gichuri, that which the Bnei Mechuza are very ruddy in color, mishum de meshamshi b'yomam, because they conduct intimacy during the day. V'hai de naidi anayhu, that their eyes seem to flutter or in constant movement, mishum de dairu b'bayis ofel, because they live in dark homes. The Gemara continues with a reference to something taught in the Mishnah. It said, "Al hagshamim va'al besuros toivos oimer boruch atoiv va'metiv." At this point, we have a topic heading on the side of the Gemara under the heading "Nosei al hagshamim or boruch atoiv va'metiv." So, over rain, the Mishnah instructs to say a bracha of atoiv va'metiv. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question, but before we go on, we should just note that diamonds will be appearing along the way. These are questions on this din. So the Gemara asks, and the question here, you'll notice, is a long question, as is signified by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the kuf that's encircled, a kushya with a descending vertical dashed line. So the Gemara asks, Val hagshomim hatoiv vametiv mevorech, is that so? V'omer Rabbi Avo, v'amri lo b'masni satana, Rabbi Avo, and some have as an alternative, some have an alternative version that is taught in a Tanaic source. B'meimosai mevorchen al hagshamim mishietze choson likros kala. This is a rather descriptive or picturesque idea. At what point is there enough rain that has fallen to justify a brocha? So it's from the point that the groom comes to greet the bride. Now, what does that mean? That the ground is relatively saturated so that puddles are forming, and that when a raindrop falls, it creates a rebounding effect, that it spurts upwards, so giving the impression that it is coming to meet the next raindrop that's falling down. So this represents a certain amount of water that fell. And now we get into where the real problem begins, and that's Mayim Mevorchen. What's the text of the bracha? Omar Rabbi Yehuda, you say the following, Moidim anachnu loch al kol tipo v'tipo she'radet olonu. We thank you for each drop that you have lowered for us, that you have enabled to fall. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bohochi, and Rabbi Yochanan continues or ends it with an additional text. Ilufinu mole shiro kayom, if our mouths were filled with song like water in the sea. And then there's a text that you can see in a siddur that's in the Nishmas davening of Shabbos, where there is more descriptive expressions. That's why you see v'chule. Nevertheless, the source, the text goes on. Ein onu maspikim lehoidus l'cha. We wouldn't be able to sufficiently thank you, Hashem Elokeinu. Ad, and then you continue saying the text ad tishtachaveh, and baruch ato Hashem roiv ha'odois. So you see here a rain text bracha. The Gemara asks on this. This is a internal question, but the main question for our purposes has been presented. In other words, the bracha is not hatov ametiv; it's rather this modim bracha. What we've done with our markings is we've enclosed from here till the end, till the next few lines, the section of more in brackets. You can see we have a bracket length indicator, a vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text to indicate that the question has been asked. Here the Gemara deals with the technical issue of the choice of words of this bracha. But at the end of the bracketed section, you'll notice the last two words within the brackets are ve'el akasha, meaning the question that we've raised still remains at that point. Afterwards, you'll notice the Gemara answers lo kasha, where you can see we have a marking, this a double underline with a design between the two. And these represent a series of answers. We have to resolve the when is it that Hatova Meitiv is said, and when is it that something else is said. So the Gemara, as we said, deals right now with the choice of words, which in the closing text that Rabbi Yochanan suggested, he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Rov Hodos, blessed be the Almighty, who let us say, who is deserving of most of our thanks. Now, when you say Rov, Rov indicates a majority, then, but there's a minority otherwise, and that raises the question of the Gemara here. Rov ha'odos below kol ha'odos, is the Almighty the recipient of most of our thanks and not all of our thanks? How can you say, who else is there to thank? It's everything is from the Almighty. So why do you use a word indicating only majority? Omar Rova, Emo, the more appropriate text should be Hokel Ha'odos, the Almighty who is deserving of thanks. That would be inclusive. Omar of Papa, Hilkoch Nimrinu Litravayu. Rav Papa, in characteristic style, suggests let's incorporate both. And what comes out is Rov Ha'odos, Vohokel Ha'odos. My understanding is that when you use the term Rov Hodos together with Hakel Hodos, it no longer means majority, but rather it means the multitude. The word Rov can also have that connotation. So it's the multitude of thanks to the Lord who is the recipient, the target of our acknowledgement. V'ela kashya, but nevertheless, the original question remains concerning the Hatova Meitiv versus this alternative text. The Gemara says lo kashya, and this is the first of a series of a couple of answers. We have one over here, and a few lines later, there is a second approach, and there will be a third approach. So lo kashya, ha deshoma mishma, o dechozo mechsi. The Hatov Vameitiv would be said when you simply heard about the rainfall, and the Moedim Brocha would be said when you see it. Question, Dishoma Mishma, upon hearing it, Hainu Basuros Tavos, that would fall under the category of one who hears good news. One who hears about the rainfall is just another example of hearing good news. Would you need our Mishnah to tell you specifically about hearing about rainfall that you say Hatov Ameitiv? Utnan, the Mishnah already teaches Al Basuros Tovos Omer Baruch Hatov Ameitiv. So one learns in a Mishnah already that on Basuros Tovos you say Hatov Ameitiv. Why do you have to specify upon hearing about rainfall? Ela, second approach, Idi v'Idi, Duchozi Mirsi. Both the Moedim Brocha and the Tova Meitiv regarding rain are upon seeing it. Velo Kashya, and still there's no contradiction. Hoda Osa Porta, Hoda Osa Tuva. If it comes, Porta means in a drizzle or a small amount, then the Moedim is the text that said. If it comes within a large amount, then the Hatov Vameitiv is recited. Viboyesema, another approach, ha v'ha da'asatuva. Both Moedim and Hatov Meitiv are recited when a large amount of falls. V'lo kashya, ha de'islei ara, ha de'leslei ara. The distinction is made whether you're a landholder or you're not a landholder. If you're a landholder, you own land, then you'll say Hatov Vameitiv. If you don't own land, so then you say the Moedim. The Gemara asks a question. And you notice the diamond are present each time you see the diamond a new question. Is lay ara atoiva meitiv mevorech? If one owns land, is that the brocha you say? We have the following source, which doesn't directly refer to rain, but it's the idea contained in this source is that when you get something new, and we're talking about the new rainfall, the Shechionu is said. And the examples given here from the Tanaic source are Bona Bayis Chadash, one builds a new house, Vekona Kelim Chadash, one acquires new vessels or new clothing. Omer Boruch Shechionu Vikimonu Vehikionu Lazman Hazeh. So it's the Shechionu Brocha that should be recited, not Hatova Meitiv. Lo Kasha. Again, the Gemara resolves this and says Ha. And here it's a function of resolving the Hatov Vameitiv with Shechionu. So Lo Kasha. Ha de is le Shutfis. Ha de les le Shutfis. In both cases, we're talking about someone who is a landholder, so that as far as the moedim bracha is concerned, so that the Gemara answered is in a case where he doesn't own land. But if he is a landholder, so then it will depend on whether he is a sole owner or he's a partner in the land. So if he's a partner in the land, then hatoiv v'ameitiv is the appropriate bracha. If he's a sole proprietor, then he says Shechionu. V'hot Tanya, and we have here a Tanaic source that supports this, and hence we've written above the word V'hot Tanya b'nichusa. The word nichusa means, as opposed to the standard approach or the standard appearance of the word V'hot Tanya, meaning a question from a source, here it is a support. Kitzroi shel davar, the rule is, to summarize the rule, al shiloh omebro shechionu v'kimonu, if it's a question of his own, al shiloh mean his own land, then he'll say shechionu. Al shiloh v'al shel chavero, if it's not only his own, but it's owned with someone else, he and his friend, omer then boruch atov v'ameitiv. So up till this point then, we've covered different situations regarding rain and the necessary bracha to be recited. And we can say that the moedim anachnu loch bracha is said upon seeing a rainfall, but you are not a landowner. If you are a landowner and a sole proprietor, then you will say shechionu. If you're an owner of land in partnership with someone, then you say hatov v'ameitiv. We continue in the Gemara with a question. V'chol heicha deles la'achrin v'adei lo mevar hatov v'ameitiv. And when you are a sole proprietor, you don't have a partner, you won't say Hatova Meitiv. In other words, is Hatova Meitiv never said when you are alone? And you'll see we have triangles that represent a series of questions on that which we just said. V'hotanya. We're going to see cases where Hatova Meitiv is said even where you don't appear to have a partner. By the way, on the side of our Gemara, we've indicated a tat nose mevorchem atoiv ametiv al hagshamim hechot islay shutfis. You say atoiv ametiv when you have a shutif, and under our mivne heading, the triangle says kushos al hanal. These would be questions on that point. So the Gemara asks, and if you don't have a shutif, you don't say atoiv ametiv v'atanya omru le yolda ishtoi zohar omer hatoiv ametiv. If a person is informed that his wife gave birth to a male child, he says the Hatov HaMeitiv Bracha. So, he is told, and he doesn't have a partner in his child. The Gemara answers that's wrong. Hosanami, he does have a partner. Diko Ishto Bahadei Denicho Lo Bezochar. He has his wife who is happy with the birth of a male child. Toshma. So, we raise again a problem. The following source will mention the Hatova Meitiv Bracha, and it will appear at first glance that You're dealing with it being recited by someone who is alone. Mace Aviv Hu Yorsha, person's father, unfortunately passed away, and he, the son, inherits. B'tchilo Omer Baruch Dan HaMes, upon the hearing of the death of his father, so he says the Baruch of Dayan HaMes, which is associated with the Besura Israel's bad news. L'Besof, upon hearing about his inheritance, Omer Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. So you have a son, he seems to be alone, and he's saying HaTov HaMeitiv, even without a partner. The Gemara answers, Hosam Nami, that source is talking about a case, the Ika Achi, there are brothers, the Koyar Sibade, that are inheriting with him. So it is a form of partnership in the inheritance. Toshma, well, we raise again a question. Shinu Yayin Ein Tzorach Levorech. Shinu Mokom Tzorach Levorech. If someone is drinking wine and there's a switch or an additional type of wine, another bottle of wine, is brought, is served, so he doesn't have to make a new borei pri hagefen. However, if he shinui mokum, if he changes his location, so he has to make a new bracha. The Omer of Yosef by Abba Rav Yochanan, afal pi shomer shinui yain ein tzorach levarach, even though the change in wine, assuming he's continuing in the same place, the change in wine does not necessitate a new bracha. Nevertheless, aval oimer hatoiv v'hametiv. But because of the change in quality of wine, the new wine that's being served, he says Hatova Metiv. So we should point out in Rashi Shinu Yayin, Shosu Yayin, two lines from the bottom, Rashi says Shosu Yayin Besuda Vavilo Yayin Acher Toiv Min Arishon. Rashi's Shita is that the second wine is better than the first. Well, Mirtz Hashem, in our Tosfos Shir, for those who are interested in our separate Tosfos Shir, we will learn that there are other opinions on this. So, but Rashi's opinion is that if the second wine that's being served is a improved quality, so then that's the case of Shinu Yayin that we're saying here, that he doesn't have to make a Bori Pri HaGefen. However, the Gemara says he will make Hatov HaMeitiv. Well, what do we see from here? Let's just read that line in the Gemara again. It's in Rabbi Yochanan's din is Afal pi shomru shinu yayin ein tzorach levorach aval omer boruch hatov hametiv. He seems to be alone, and yet he's making this bracha. The Gemara answers, Hosam nami diika b'nei chabura deshasu badei. It is a situation where there is a group that is drinking together with him. So, up till this point then, the approach the Gemara took before to Hatov HaMeitiv is being recited only when you're in a situation of a joint effort or a joint benefit. Only then do you say Hatov HaMeitiv. That seems to stand till the end of this particular sugya. The Gemara continues with the realm of the Birchas Shechiyonu, regarding someone who builds a new house or acquires new vessels. The term kelim is used in the Gemara, which can refer to vessels and clothing as well. The Gemara, Bona Bayis Chodosh Kona Kelim Chadoshim Omer Shechiyonu. You'll notice that we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. There is a second version of Rav Uno and Rav Yochanan presented on Samach Omer Aleph that we've labeled as Roman numeral number 2. The Mishnah said, Bona Bayis Chodosh V'Kona Kelim Chadoshim, he says, Shechiyonu, Omer Rav Uno, Lo Shonu, Elo She'ein Lo Kayotze Bohen. The Broch of Shechiyonu is recited when he acquires a new vessel, only if he is not already in possession of something just like that which he's getting now. Avol yeshlo kayotze bohen, ein tzorach levorach. If he is in possession of that thing, he may have received it through an inheritance. So he didn't buy it, but he has it as an inheritance. Nevertheless, because he's already in possession of an item similar to that which he's buying now, there is no shechiyonu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Yeshlo Kayotze Bohen Tzorach Levorech. Even if he already has this item that he got through Yerusha, through inheritance, since he's now buying that item for the first time, it's his first time purchasing the item, he makes a Shechiyonu. So regarding the method of acquisition, a Shechiyonu could be recited. So according to Rav Huna, the method of acquisition plays no role. It's do you have the item, yes or no? That's what makes the difference. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not of binding quality whether or not you have the item. What we're interested, what we're focusing on, is the method of acquisition. In other words, it's the first time you're purchasing the item. That is what justifies or gives rise to the need for a Shechiyonu. We can infer from this with Michlal. Now the Gemara continues at the top of Samach Omed Aleph. Michlal, and you'll notice that we've marked the word Michlal because in the second version of this presentation we're going to see again an inference drawn. So to highlight the point at which the Gemara makes the inference, we've marked it with this double underlying dots in between them, marking. So Michlal, the Chikona, the Chazavikona, we can infer then from the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Huna, that we saw that everyone would agree, though, if he is making a second time purchase of that item, so for the second act of purchasing, he will not. Everyone will agree there is no need for a Shechiyonu. We continue. The Ika di Amri, a second version of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shanu. The teaching of saying Shechiyonu, Elo Shelo Kona V'Chazer V'Kona. That it's not his second time purchasing it. Avol Kona V'Chazer V'Kona. If it's his second time purchasing it, then ein tzorach levorach, then there's no need for a brocha. So you'll notice that this version of Rav Huna is similar to the first Lashon's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. Namely, Rav Huna here is saying that a Shechiyonu will be recited even if you may be already in possession of the item, but it's your first time purchasing it, you will make a Shechiyonu. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, this is the Loshen number 2 of Rabbi Yochanan, says, Afilu kona v'chazer v'kona tzorach levarach. Even if you are making a second time purchase of that particular item, you will make a Shechiyonu. Well, after hearing that, you can then infer that Michlal d'chi yesh lo v'kona, that if he already had the item, let's say through Yerusha, through inheritance, and it's his first time purchasing, Divrei HaKol Tzorach Levarach, everyone would agree, even Rav Huna will agree, that you will make the Shechiyonu. So we've seen two versions, Roman number two, presenting a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, under what circumstances will one say Shechiyonu? Meisvei. The Gemara now raises a question. Now this question is we can call this a long question. It will eventually be a question on the second Lashon of Rav Yochanan. And you can see to the side of the Gemara text, we have provided a long question marking, indicating all of these lines form the question. Meisvei, the Tanaic source says, Bona bayis chadash vein lo kayotze bo. Person built a new house, the likes of which he doesn't have till now. Kona kelim chadashim vein lo kayotze bohen. He purchased new wares, the likes of which he has not had till now. Tzorach levorech. He has to make the brocha of Shechiyonu. Yesh lo kayotze bohen, ein tzorach levarach, divrei Rabbi Meir. If he doesn't have these types of items, let's correct ourselves, yesh lo kayotze, he already has these types of items, Ein Tzorach Levorach, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is reflecting an opinion that says it all depends on whether or not you have the item in your possession already. The fact that it might be the first time you're buying it is not grounds for Shechiyono. It would have to be the first time that you are coming into possession of the item. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beinkach uBeinkach Tzorach Levorach. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you already have the item, but it happens to be the first time you're buying it, so you've got an element of firstness over here, which is the grounds for Shechiyono. Where do you have the firstness in the method of acquisition? So then you do make a Shechiyono. So whether you're Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, there has to be an element of firstness, a clear firstness. Either it's the first time you're possessing it, that would be Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it could even be the first time that you are purchasing it. So Bishlamo Lishna Tamo, as far as the first Lashon of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are concerned, things are very smooth. Rav Huna k'Rabbi Meir, Rav Huna aligns with Rabbi Meir, and Rav Yochanan k'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav Yochanan would align with Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Lishna Basra, according to the second version, so Bishlamo Rav Huna k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Huna, in the second version, said that if it's the first time you're going through the act of purchasing, even if you already happen to be in possession of it, but it's the first time you're going through the act of purchasing, so you will make a Shechiyonu, and that would conform to Rabbi Meir. That would conform, let us correct ourselves, that would conform to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even if you have it, but it's the first time you're purchasing it, you will make a Bracha. So Rav Huna of the Roman numeral number 2 will align with Rabbi Yehuda. Elo Rabbi Yochanan diomar keman, but Rabbi Yochanan doesn't seem to conform to any of the Tanoim. Lo k'Rabbi Meir, velo k'Rabbi Yehuda. He's not like either one, because the second lashon of Rabbi Yochanan is saying, even if it's the second time you're purchasing it, you still will make a Shechiyonu. And as far as the Tanoim are concerned, neither one of them would seem to acknowledge that. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds with a long answer. You'll notice we have also to the side of the Gemara text a long answer marking. Hu hadin de Rabbi Yehuda kona v'chazer v'kona nami tzorach levorech. According to Rabbi Yehuda, claims Rabbi Yochanan that even if it's a second time you're purchasing that type of item, you will make a bracha. The hadika miflig v'yesh lo v'kana, and that which the Tanaic source presents Rabbi Yehuda as saying shechiyonu, in a case where it's your first time purchasing it, in other words, you have it through Yerusha, and it's your first time purchasing it, it's not that you should infer from that that if it's the second time you would not make the bracha, but rather lo diach ha-koichi de Rabbi Meir, to show us how far Rabbi Meir goes, da afilu kono v'yeshlo, meaning even if it's the first time you're going through the act of purchasing it, ein tzorach levorech, you won't make a bracha because you already have it. And certainly, if it's the second time you are purchasing that type of item, Rabbi Meir would say, you do not make the bracha. So that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that you don't learn the source when you are learning Rabbi Yehuda with the inference mode of thinking, because that which the source teaches regarding Rabbi Yehuda, who says if it's the first time you're purchasing it, even though you already have the item, you make a Shechiyonu, that's not to the exclusion of a second purchase. Even a second purchase, you'll make the Shechiyonu. The reason the source featured the first time purchase was to show us how far Rabbi Meir goes in saying not to make the bracha. Namely, Rabbi Meir's opinion is that if it's the first time you're purchasing it, then you do make the bracha. But this is, by the way, called to show us lahodicha kachim meir, that if it's the, even though it's the first time you're purchasing it, and there's a chidush in the method of acquisition, Rabbi Meir says you do not make the bracha. And certainly, if it's the second time you're purchasing it, you're not going to make the bracha. If for the first time you go through the act of purchasing, simply because you already have it, you're not going to make a shechiyonu. If it's the second time you're purchasing it, in other words, you already have it through having purchased it, and now it's a repeat act, you're certainly not going to make the bracha. So Rabbi Meir is featured in this source as giving us, let's say, several circumstances. One stated explicitly, and the other one, in fact, is inferred on circumstances that you will not make the Shechiyonu. Question. V'liflegu b'kona v'chazer v'kona, d'ein tzorach l'vorech, l'odich ha'kochi the Rabbi Yehuda. Why not teach the source featuring that very case of second time purchasing? And Rabbi Meir will tell us you don't have to make a Shechiyonu. And what would I gain by teaching second time purchasing that case? To show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in saying that you do make the bracha. That even though there's no chidush in terms of item, and no chidush in terms of method of acquisition, still you will make the bracha. Why not teach the source featuring that case? Answer. Koyach dehetera odif lei. The source was more interested in showing us the heter, the koyach of heter, which we'll have to assume the heter over here is the right to a new item without having to make the bracha of Shechiyonu. So that's called the koyach of heter. When we were learning the source, we dashed on the tzorech levorech and the ein tzorech levorech, that you have to, when do you have to, and when are you relieved from the obligation? So that the heter is this idea of being relieved from the obligation. And when you present the case, as we did in the source, that if it's the first time you're acquiring, it's the first time that you come into possession of it, only then will you make a bracha according to Rabbi Meir. But if it's, you already have it, but it's, even though it's the first time you're buying it, you're relieved from that obligation. We accomplish this goal of showing you koyach of heter, which is something that you see in other places in the Shas, that where it's a function of showing you an extreme, we'll call you an extreme lenient opinion, versus an extreme stringent opinion. We prefer to show you the extreme in the direction of leniency. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.